B-Pod Studios.
Dutcher. I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Dutcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's someone on roller skates.
There's a rabbit on my driveway. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
Everyone's angry in Brookline. Everyone's feeling stressed.
Oh.
Where the people there are surly, and the average age is dead.
What is that?
There's a man taking a poop.
He's having a good time, because everyone's angry in Brookline.
Turkey that came into my house and is sitting in my kitchen.
98.5 Sports Hub, it is Dutcher and Rich. And everyone's angry in Brookline. Real 911 calls from the people of Brookline, Massachusetts, which, as we've learned, is one of the strangest, angriest places in the entire country. A lot of petty phone calls about petty things. And for a while, we've been taking those calls and playing them on the air, but I mentioned something a little while back. I said, you know, I wonder if there's any other city that might be interesting, as interesting as Brookline. Brookline's kind of a special kind of weird, the way there is. There's tons of money there, so there's feelings of entitlement, and you hear that in a lot of these calls, and just how petty some of them are. There's a dispensary there, so there's, yep, you know, a little bit of that. You're pretty close to, you know, the city, so they don't like some of the city folk coming into their part, yeah, of town. It's
Brookline definitely has its own sections. Like there's Route 9, there's like the like where they're all, like the nice schools are, like Cleveland Circle, yeah,
there's,
area.
There's the village over by,
yep, the
over
village.
By
there's
Boston
Coolidge
Street.
Corner
That's
area
where I used to live. Yep.
So it's a special kind of weird, and it's almost set up perfectly for these 911 calls. But I said, hey, is there any other city out there that maybe I hadn't been thinking about that you might get the same or maybe even a different kind of dynamic where you would find very interesting calls? And there was one town or one area that stood out amongst the rest that a ton of people suggested, and I didn't quite get why, but I did the people's bidding, and that area was Marblehead.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I used to live the next town over.
Okay. Why should Marblehead be interesting?
Because it is a secluded spot. It's up against the coast. And Joe, back me up on this. There is a crap load of money in that town.
Big time money, mansions, beaches, and that's it.
And okay, people pay the extra money to be secluded because it's off the beaten path. There's no main highway that goes right by.
I believe you can only enter either through Swampscott,
exactly,
or Salem.
Or no, you can go up. You can come up from the south through Lynn, take, yeah, 1A, and go, yeah, that way.
Okay, here's what what I know about Marblehead. Is that every time I go there, the first thing I say is, oh, my God, this place is unbelievable.
Beautiful.
It's,
yes,
beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And the,
yeah,
second thing is, oh, my God, it's going to take me 15 hours to get back to Boston. Yeah,
correct.
Like, I mean, it's so far off the highway. And maybe that's the way they want it. And maybe, mm-hmm, that's why,
yeah, it's
people,
on the ocean.
And maybe that's why people were suggesting Marblehead, is maybe there's this feeling of entitlement. I'm not sure. All I know is that I got the calls. I got the 911 calls. So we have a twist today.
So what are rich people calling for?
We are moving locations from Brookline.
Let's get out of the city.
To North Shore 911.
Yeah.
I have a little twist to this series.
That's
why,
right,
don't we insert Shane Knighty into
the sheriff.
It?
Or
the sheriff.
Or better yet, we insert Marblehead into Brookline 911.
Wow.
What are the McMansion people call in for?
And as I said, I was like, fine. A lot of people seem to think that this would be an interesting place. I don't know what you're looking for. And then I got the phone calls. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are real 911 calls to the Marblehead Police Department.
Yes.
Let's start with, are you doing these or me, Dan? I'm doing them? Okay, all right, let me pull these up here as the phones start lighting up of people who know what we're talking about. Once again, this was all new to me, but I listened to your advice. Here is call number one to Brookline, or Marblehead, rather, 911.
Marblehead Police, reported on.
Hi there. I do want to talk to someone who might be able to help me with my son. He's being frustratingly oppositional, and I wondered if there's someone I could talk to.
Okay. And how old is he?
14.
Okay. And is this happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just like lying around in bed, and he's just... This is a pattern with him.
Okay.
Imagine. Calling.
I mean.
Imagine calling the police on your children?
Well, no, it's not even that. It's that the parenting is so poor that you're going to call the police to come force this kid to go to camp.
Being oppositional.
Frustratingly so.
Rich is shocked. His mouth is just open.
This is a 911. Isn't the first line when they pick up his 911, what's your emergency?
Yeah,
my kid's playing video games.
Yeah.
He won't listen. He won't come to dinner. Have a cop come over here. Show him who's boss. Oh, my God.
This is worse than kicking dirt in the field.
Oh, man.
This might be one of the worst.
Marvelous police recorder done.
Hi there. I do want to talk to someone who might be able to help me with my son. He's being frustratingly oppositional. And I wondered if there's someone I could talk to.
Okay. And how old is he?
14.
Okay. And is this happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just like lying around in bed, and he's just, this is a pattern with him. And we've got to find a way to break the pattern. He's just being really difficult.
Okay, let me have a cruiser come up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, that is the best.
Dan has a good point. He said, this is scared straight Marblehead, where the police show up and force the kid to get out of bed and go to summer camp.
We got a problem. We got a problem on Lover's Lane. What is it?
Devereaux Beach Lane.
This damn kid would stop playing Fortnite. And I love it, too. It's like, oh, he's heading to camp. He's just...
Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just...
Imagine being so bad a parent that you have to call a cop on your kid because they're not listening to you. And by the way, much respect to the lady at the end of this, because she just straight up just goes, I'm not dealing with this. I'm sending a cop.
Yep.
She said, I'm not even going to try to debate you. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and you're getting a cop coming your way. I mean, it's like...
He's just being really difficult.
Okay, let me have a cruiser come up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, now I get it.
Jesus.
So they call the cop. The kid gets scared because he sees the cop and then gets up.
Someone just said, this is John from Vegas. This is just like that scene in Blow where Johnny Depp's parents turn him in.
Yeah.
Someone said, there's someone you can talk to, ma'am. Your husband.
Yeah. Or a doctor. Oppositional defiant disorder, ODD.
So let me get this straight. A 14-year-old teenager just wants to sleep? Well, that's what teens do.
Maybe he's stoned.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is. All right. Well, we continue with these calls. Once again, Marblehead was suggested. I didn't understand why. And then I got the tapes, and I'm like, all right, man. Now I get it.
And if you've been through Marblehead, it's just mansions.
You understand.
Yep. And a beautiful, beautiful beaches and a nice downtown, and that's about it.
Yeah. Somebody said new Touch and Rich shirt. Frustratingly oppositional. All right, let's get to another 911 call from Marblehead, of all places. Here we go.
Police,
Coffin.
Yeah, I'm calling. I got a complaint. There's a guy washing his boat with a power washer in the street, and this guy's out on a public street with a pressure washer washing his boat. That shouldn't be done.
Okay, and what's your name?
Power boat on a trailer. My name is, I don't want it to come back to me. I mean, I'm a neighbor, let's put it that way. Okay? And, this guy just moved in there about, 6 months or a year ago, and it doesn't make any difference whether he's been there 20 years. Nobody's supposed to pressure wash the bottom of a boat in a restricted area. You can't do that at the yacht clubs or anything else. It has to be.
Go to the yacht club if you want to do that. Next thing you know, this guy's going to be washing his car in his front yard.
Wow. The water's everywhere.
But Dennis Eckersley better not live in Marblehead. That some bitch is going to be out there.
That'd be a problem.
You're going to be calling him saying, hey, man, the old P-Wagon needs a rub down.
Washing a boat on a public street.
Well,
that happens in every community.
He's new.
Moved in there about, 6 months or a year ago, and it doesn't make any difference whether he's been there 20 years. Nobody's supposed to pressure wash the bottom of a boat in a restricted area. You can't do that at the yacht clubs or anything else. It has to be in an area where the water's contained.
Okay, and pleading ignorance, because I don't know the law, what is a restricted area? Where can they do it?
Well, like in a boatyard at the Eastern Yacht Club, you just can't wash your boat on the dock. So the last thing this guy should be doing is doing it in a public street.
Okay.
He's got a red pickup truck and a boat hooked to the back of it. And it's...
this is obviously a massive boat. It's on the back of a pickup truck. It's like a yacht. This guy's rubbing. It's like the Titanic. It's taking up all the space in the room. Do it at the yacht club like a normal, respectful human being.
At the Eastern Yacht Club, you just can't wash your boat on the dock. So the last thing this guy should be doing is doing it in a public street.
Okay.
He's got a red pickup truck and a boat hooked to the back of it. And it's he just shouldn't do it, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
By the way, that guy didn't even say that they were going to send a cop. He was like, okay, cool, man. Bye. Yeah. All right, we're done. This phone call is over with. Oh, my God. This is a, I never knew.
Imagine if someone called the cops on you for, like, washing your car.
Let's go to Aaron. Aaron on line one. Aaron, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Yeah. I do work in my, well, my business is mostly out of my life. Let me tell you something. These people suck. They are the worst people that you've ever had to deal with. All they do is they bitch and moan. They want everything done by that. They have all this money. They are the worst. You guys should do this every week. You're going to get some great phone calls by these people because they are the worst.
Dude, I never knew. Like, I mean, it was just like everyone. It was funny because I mentioned it. I was like, hey, are there any other cities? And I was thinking, you know, Revere, Everett, that might be going. Mm. But I mean, overwhelmingly, people are like, dude, go to Marblehead. And I was like, Marblehead looks like a pleasant place. It looks gorgeous out there. I think everyone seems like they're extremely happy. And then, of course, you end up getting things like...
he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just, like, lying around in bed.
Oh, this stuff is too good. All right, well, we have more of that. More where that came from, believe it or not. And we will continue with a special edition of not Brookline 911, but Marblehead 911 right after this.
My son, he's being frustratingly oppositional.
There's a guy washing his boat with a power washer in the street, and this guy's out on a public street with a pressure washer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's someone on roller skates.
There's a rabbit on my driveway. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
Everyone's angry in Brookline. Everyone's feeling stressed.
Oh.
Where the people there are surly. And the average age is dead.
What is that?
Locals find new reasons just to moan and bitch and whine.
There's a man taking a poop.
Nobody's having a good time. Cause everyone's angry in Brookline.
Turkey that came into my house and is sitting in my kitchen.
98.5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And everyone's angry in Brookline. Real 911 calls from the people of Brookline, Massachusetts, which, as we've learned, is one of the strangest, angriest places in the entire country. A lot of petty phone calls about petty things. And for a while, we've been taking those calls and playing them on the air, but I mentioned something a little while back. I said, you know, I wonder if there's any other city that might be interesting, as interesting as Brookline. Brookline's kind of a special kind of weird, the way there is. There's tons of money there, so there's feelings of entitlement, and you hear that in a lot of these calls. And just how-
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, friends, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I was taking pictures of a landscaper who was using gasoline-powered leaf blowers.
Everyone's angry in Brookline. Everyone's feeling stressed. Where the people there are surly and the average age is dead.
They're smoking.
Where the locals find new reasons just to moan and bitch and whine.
The geese were following you.
Nobody's having a good time because everyone's angry in Brookline.
They don't belong here.
There's an aggressive group of turkeys.
I don't like Brookline.
Or, in this case, Marblehead. It's Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. I, a couple of weeks ago, just said, hey, you know, listen, we've been taking these calls. Brookline's a special kind of place for a... there's a weird mix of people and things going on and... And it makes for very strange and sometimes entitled and weird 911 calls. Is there any other city like that I'm just not even thinking about? And, I mean, it was, to be quite unexpected, the majority of the people said, well, Marblehead. And Marblehead was so far off my radar. As I said, I was thinking of places like, you know, Revere or Brockton or somebody like, you know, some Cambridge. But the fact that all of these people like seem to know something that I didn't know, and then I got the calls, and now I thank you. I applaud you, good people, for pointing me in that direction.
Because in Brookline, you have city problems. This weird guy's walking along the street. He's parking in my spot.
Yeah.
It's simple stuff, but you get out in the suburbs, especially an entitled rich suburb, and the game changes a little.
See, the thing about Marblehead that I knew beforehand was when you show up and you go there, it's like you walked into the Truman Show.
Yeah.
It's like heaven. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Everywhere you look, oh, agreed, my God. Like, how could anyone have any sort of problems? So when people were suggesting that, and now I understand why, because of some of the calls we got. Jeremy, real quick. We'll go to Jeremy on line three. We have a few more calls to do. Jeremy, what's up?
Yeah, so how are you?
Hey.
Good. So I used to work for UPS out in Marblehead, and I did it for 4 years. And, you know, normally you have dog treats in the truck for all the dogs, because there's a lot of dog walkers in Marblehead, everybody's walking around. So one time I'm coming back from my truck after delivering a package, and this lady's sitting there with her dog right by my door. So I pet the dog and say, hey, have a good afternoon. I get up on my truck, I turn around, she's like, where are you going? I'm like, I gotta go do my stuff. So have a good day. She goes, you're not gonna give a treat to my dog. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have the truck that I normally have today. So I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't have a treat. She goes, my dog is going to be so upset. What kind of UPS driver are you? You don't have a stupid freaking treat for my dog? I'm like, lady, why don't you just go to your house and get him a treat? She goes, he's going to mope home all the way home and not have a treat. I'm like, I have to deal with this dog all day. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Are you serious?
You just keep treats in your pocket.
I guess so. All right.
Known better.
Oh, man. Okay,
well, let's get to our next 911 call. Once again, these are real calls to the Marblehead 911.
I have a little twist.
It's a little twist. It's not Brookline.
Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it? Mm-hmm. The sheriff.
All right. So let's get to it. Here's our next call to Marblehead 911.
Marblehead, please record it, line.
My television does not work.
I don't mean to stop. But I'm going to stop. Where's this one going? Just how bad is her television not working? It's got to be, I mean, really bad.
Marlo, please record it, line.
My television does not work. It has not worked all morning. And I thought all the neighbors were out. But it's not. It's me. And it keeps putting on it, no signal. Press input. Well, I don't have any input on this.
That's obvious. That's blatantly obvious, ma'am. You have no input.
So how do you think the person responds?
I'm about to say something really sexist. I don't think women, first of all, in the first place, understand the audio input button. I don't think I've ever had a woman in my life who hasn't asked me, how do I get it from one thing to the next? It's like, well, it's this button right here. Well, I don't understand the concept. But this lady took it to the next level, and she called 911 for help with this. Something makes me think that she's a regular caller to this line.
Do you think she has cable?
And it keeps putting on it. No signal. Press input. Well, I don't have any input on this. And so I haven't had television all day, but I've lived here for about 18 years, and I've had television right up until today.
Okay.
Everything else is working fine. Yes, it's just that the television doesn't, and the sign keeps coming on. So it says no signal.
Okay.
Press input. Well, of course, I don't have any input here.
Okay. Do you have cable TV, or do you use an antenna?
Oh. Oh, no.
That's when her head exploded. You see, I turn on the TV, and there's TV. Well, do you have cable or is it antenna? And I love how the, and by the way, kudos to the 911 operators, by the way, continuing to keep their cool through all of this. They're just like, all right. Let's let her speak her piece.
Okay. Do you have cable TV or do you use an antenna?
Well, I've got a television that was installed here, which I've been using ever since I've been here, and it's been fine.
Okay. All right. Well, let me see if I can figure out who to put my hands on to help you get that figured out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I mean,
she has no idea. Those people, those 911 operators who say this a lot in Brookline, these people are saints.
Right.
All of them.
I'll contact the Geek Squad Department of the Police.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And they'll come over with their cool suits and try to jiggle the thing in the back. Our IT guy will be over there. He looks a lot like John Wallach, if you know what he looks like.
So if you're a police,
not a bad thing.
If you're a police officer in Marblehead, you need to, like, know how to, like, work cable and know the water lines, you know, what you can use for power washing and what you can't.
I'm thinking this is probably an easy fix for any police officer that shows up at that lady's apartment or home or whatever the case may be. I don't think this is a difficult thing. This is a call you probably want to go on because it'll be done in like 4 seconds.
Wow.
And then there's this one. And this one was just different than the rest. Let's just let this one roll. Real calls to Brookline. Marblehead's 911. As it just disappeared.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened here. So, is this in...
It's the grand finale, Thursday, too.
I know. What are we going to do? Here, let's go. Let's take this call real quick while we're waiting. Let's go to Michael. Michael, line one. What's up, man?
What's up, man? I have a different perspective of Marblehead. I am somebody who is actually a blue-collar worker and skip who's forced to live with these creatures.
Forced? How are you forced?
I'm forced to live with these creatures. No, but it's a nice town, believe me. I have no problem living there, but these people exist. I'm the guy that shows up to, like, the school meetings with a Misfits t-shirt on, and you should see the look. With, like, a sleeve of tattoos. You know, I gave my kid a pot tie. He's sitting at the bus stop. You would have thought I gave him a cigarette. The looks I was getting from these people. I'm giving my kid a pot tie.
All right, man. Well, appreciate the call. Okay, here we go. Here is our final call.
Marblehead, please. Still in your calls recorded. Oh, hi. I'm just calling. I'm sure this is totally normal, but I just thought, like, sometimes when you see something that's unusual that you should just, like, say something. Mm-hmm. We were just driving home from Old Town, and there was a kid walking. He had like, pretend armor on, but he also had, like, a giant sword thing.
And where did you see him?
I'm on Abbott Street. He was at the very top of Abbott Street, kind of walking down towards Jersey. And it just kind of seemed a little unusual, and he looked kind of angry.
Okay, I'll let me take a look for him.
Okay, bye. Okay.
We found John Wallach in Marblehead.
You know what the Marblehead mascot is, right?
It's the Marblehead Magicians, my friend. I had a listener bring that to my attention, and he's right. They're the Marblehead Magicians.
He's LARPing all over Marblehead.
He had, like, pretend armor on, but he also had, like, a giant sword thing.
John, ready to go to thy fantasy LARP.
And it just kind of seemed a little unusual, and he looked kind of angry.
Yes, he did. All right.
Find me that Burger King.
Fixing all the televisions.
Well, all I can say is thank you to our listeners because I would have had no idea. Hang on. Is this really him? Line three. Guy from Machine?
Yeah, hey, is this
Guy from Machine, how are you doing?
How are you? What's going on?
Oh my goodness, this is Guy from Machine. How are you doing?
This is the guy with the blue eyes, right?
Yes. No, I do not have the blue eyes. I am the hunky one. Yes. I'm the better looking of the two of us.
Oh, whatever. What's going on?
How are you doing? What have you been up to?
Well, I've been working a lot and stuff, but you know, my schedule's kind of tight, so what y'all doing at the radio station now?
Well, we miss you. That's one thing that we're doing. Wow, I had no idea you were going to call in this morning. It's been a long time. Do you miss Nick?
Yeah. How's Nick doing?
He almost died, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Again?
Yes, almost again.
He's going to die.
That's right. Now, did the fact that he almost died make him even more attractive? The fact that he could have completely been gone, did it make him even more attractive?
Yeah, I know, he told me the whole story. He came in the club and told me about it.
Ah, goodness gracious. How you doing? I heard, yeah. Is Machine still going to stick around, or is the bar closing down?
It's closing within a couple of months. So I just want to make sure to tell everybody to come to Machine just to have a drink, or just come to karaoke, or even stop in and have a pitcher of beer and leave and get in a Uber and go home. Before it shuts down. Yeah.
Is there going to be like a big like party that the final night or anything like that?
Closing party. They're going to have a big closing party. Yeah, they're going to have a big closing party.
Oh, we got to stop by. We have to stop by.
Yeah, a big closing party. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you on hold, and I want Nick to talk to you about when he could come by and talk to you next, because it's been a long time since we've had a visit from Guy from Machine.
Okay. I'll hold on for Nick. Okay.
Okay. All right. And do you want to say anything to Fred, even though he's not here?
Well, I just want to say hi to Freddie. Yeah.
All right. We appreciate a Guy from Machine. Wow. How about that? A call from Guy from Machine to close things out.
Nowhere.
It just doesn't get any better than this. We find a new city to do 911 mm-hmm. with. We've got the guy from Machine calling in. By the way,
I have a little twist.
That's right.
Series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it?
Or just Marblehead. If you have any other suggestions of cities that are going to end up being as good as that one, then I will take them gladly. Nick.
I think we've only scratched the surface of Marblehead, though. There's plenty there.
I guess so. All right. We will go to Joe Murray's headlines right after this.
Marvelous Police Reporter Line.
Hi there. I do want to talk to someone who might be able to help me with my son. He's being frustratingly oppositional, and I wondered if there's someone I could talk to.
Okay. And how old is he?
14.
Okay. And is this happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just refusing to go to camp, and he's just lying around in bed, and he's just... This is a pattern with him, and we've got to find a way to break the pattern. He's just being really difficult.
Okay, let me have a cruiser come up.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
It is Toucher and Rich, and Chris Cotillo is quickly becoming one of our favorite people that covers the Red Sox. He does it for MassLive.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. You are still down in Fort Myers, correct, Chris?
I am. Okay. Yes,
I assume a lot warmer than it is where you guys are. So
it actually doesn't suck here. I mean, today it's whatever. I think this weekend is supposed to be in like the 50s, right?
Yeah. No, right now it's frigid, but yes, the warmer weather is coming back.
So
yes.
Have you gotten used to seeing a lot of pasty men wearing short shorts? Like
Don't forget the Hawaiian shirts.
The Dan Roaches and Sean McAdams of the world.
The Hawaiian shirts, very important.
Getting to see some leg down there, Chris.
Yeah, now it's last year I showed up, decided to try to be professional wearing khakis, and quickly found out that's not the way spring training works.
No, so. Of course. You let it loose. You get the Tommy Bahama out there, and you show the world what's doing. Okay, so we've got the team has an interesting thing on their hands right now, because whereas maybe 2 weeks ago there was a report that came out that this investigation that Major League Baseball is doing with Red Sox, it looked like it wasn't going to be anything too serious, and now we are hearing that the investigators double-backed and re-interviewed some of the players on the Red Sox, which, Chris, to me, that says they found something. What are you hearing, and what do you feel about that information that came out this week?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the longer it goes on, the worse these guys have to feel about what it could possibly find and what they could possibly find. You know, I don't think that they're going to re-interview guys to confirm that nothing happened there. You know, either was inconsistency in some of the interviews they did, or they found, you know, something unsettling. So, you know, I definitely think that that's a negative sign. You know, these guys still here are really sticking by the story that they're not going to find anything. Ian Kinsler, who's on that 2018 team, did a really interesting radio interview with the station in Dallas, and he really got into it. He doesn't have anything to lose anymore because he's retired and really not associated with the organization at all. He said that they didn't do anything really other than, you know, the normal stealing signs from second, relaying it. They had a really good system. He said nothing will be found, but definitely that delay gives me pause just for a little bit. And until it actually comes out, you know, no one really knows what they found.
Okay, so the Red Sox are in a weird spot if they end up finding any kind of evidence that these guys cheated, because if you take a look at the way the Astros are punished, you know, the two guys that ended up, you know, taking the brunt of it, or all of it rather, would be the manager and the general manager. But with the Red Sox, the general manager, Dave Dombrowski, he's not there anymore. He's not even working. And then you've got the manager who was there, if it was during the year that they won the World Series, he's no longer there. He's gone. So Manfred's made a statement that he's not going to punish the players. How do you punish this team? And if it's like draft picks, is that going to be satisfactory to anybody?
Yeah, you know, a report came out, I think it was John Heyman, who tweeted Dombrowski's going to be found innocent in anything. So he has nothing to worry about. Obviously, he doesn't have a job, so it doesn't really matter. The Red Sox losing Cora kind of was a punishment in and of itself. His suspension that is pretty much, you know, likely, if not definite, to come. For the Astros thing will probably be longer if it's found that he did anything here. You know, they could get a coach or two if it's found that they were really involved in it. Suspend a video guy, I guess. So those guys don't have immunity, just the players do. But the more, you know, likely thing is that loss of draft picks or the fine, kind of punishing the organization for what went on. That's what they tried to do in Houston. In addition to, obviously, Hinton Luenow getting suspended, they had a $5 million fine. They lost their top two picks in the next 2 years. So I think the Red Sox are all indications are that their punishment will be a lot less severe than what the Astros had. But people forget, because of the Apple Watch thing, which might have been actually a Fitbit, but electronic watch, whatever. In 2017, the Red Sox are repeat offenders. The league's going to look at them that way if they are found culpable of anything. And I think the organization as a whole will be suspended. That, again, fine, draft picks. And, you know, with the limits that Manfred has, especially with the Red Sox not having their manager and GM anyway, that might be the most he can do.
You're in that locker room. You're in the clubhouse every day, and this story isn't going anywhere. First, it was in West Palm Beach, and now with the results of the investigation pending in your area, too, you're in the faces of these baseball players every day. Are you getting pushback from the players? Are they getting frustrated yet with all the questions you guys are asking them?
You know, I think that it's kind of an interesting dynamic here because, and I've told this to a couple other people, you know, there's 28 camps, so there's 28 groups of beat writers that can go up to anybody in their clubhouse and say, talk about the Astros, and every player will go off, and you're going to get some of the juiciest quotes you've ever heard from baseball players, even Mike Trout, Nick Markakis, we've seen tons and tons of guys, Justin Turner. Here, they're taking a diplomatic approach. I think there's two reasons for that. Number one, they're in their own investigation. They don't want to say too much and have that come back and hurt them if something is found later in the month. and number two, the immense respect they have for Alex Cora and obviously his involvement in Houston. So it's a really kind of weird gray area where the Red Sox are taking the approach of, you know, let's put this all behind us. You know, baseball, we don't want to talk about the Astros. We can't change the past. I think some of that has to do with those two things I mentioned in their own investigation in Cora. But still, these guys are pretty confident. They're pretty, at least publicly confident. And that started with J.D. Martinez at Winter Weekend last month that nothing's going to be found. Andrew Benintendi said the same thing. Rafael Devers has said the same thing. And not so many words. The owners have said the same thing by telling fans to reserve judgment. Chaim Bloom, now Ian Kinsler. I mean, everybody is coming out and saying, you know, they're not going to find anything. So I think the players truly believe that. They're really going out on a limb by saying that publicly because they're not supposed to comment at all. So I find that interesting, too.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but this whole scandal has made baseball interesting again. Like, you had a Red Sox team here, you know, that, I mean, with the beginning of baseball, especially if you're a Red Sox fan, you're like, okay, well, you got a team that, you know, Chaim Bloom came out when they did the Mookie trade and said, yeah, we're probably not going to be as good as last year. Oh, but the ticket prices went up. And then you had Sam Kennedy do his song and dance about, hey, you can buy family tickets for $9. And now, all of a sudden, as you said, the most milquetoast of personalities in baseball, and there's a lot of them, people like Mike Trout or the extremely likable Aaron Judge,
yeah.
They're all coming out and talking absolute trash on the Astros.
John Lester.
And to be honest, these Astros games are going to be must-watch television for at least the first month until the commissioner does something drastic to make people stop beating him in the ribs or doing some sort of on-the-field retribution. But in my opinion, Chris, this has been great for baseball.
Yeah, it has. You know, I don't think a lot of people who aren't big baseball fans knew who Rob Manfred was before the last couple of weeks, but
they do.
I was at the press conference the other day in Florida and where he really kind of was embarrassing. And obviously the piece of metal comment about the World Series trophy turned a lot of heads. So baseball players, they're kind of default is to be reserved and not say much. That's been completely turned on its head. And it's interesting. You know, it's now a bunch of catty guys who are upset. They want revenge, and you never see this. So it's the guys that have been covering baseball for 30, 40 years say they've never seen anything like this, and it is good for the game. You know, there's going to be suddenly the Astros have 29 rivals, which is, you know, really something that you know, talk about a target on your back. They have it maybe literally and figuratively as much as the league wants to make sure none of them are hit. So it is good. You know, I think in February, people are talking about baseball a little bit, but it's not constantly, you know, on every channel, and you're not talking about it as much. It's really, you know, a basketball and hockey time, but here we are. It's the baseball season is going to be, you know, a lot of casual fans, I think, are going to tune in. And
no question.
You know, I don't think this is how the game wanted it, but this is, I guess, how they might be reaching new audiences.
All right. Well, Chris, finally, just based on your gut and maybe even things that you've seen over the past couple of years, what do you think this report is going to find?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be less than what the Astros did and what they got. You know, obviously, I think that was an egregiously complex system, and what they did was kind of beyond anything anybody in baseball has seen. Kind of the word is what the Red Sox did was, you know, right on the gray area, right on the line. But it's something a lot of teams were doing. They have that video replay room. They're going to make changes to that in this year, definitely. But they have that video replay room, and people look and see, you know, the signs when they're looking at their at-bats. They relay them. It happens everywhere. And the Red Sox, just for the team that happened to be named in that report, and obviously as a World Series champion, there's a greater spotlight on them. So I don't think that act specifically will cause them to have big punishments. But like I said, as a repeat offender with Cora's involvement, I think that they could get, you know, knocked a draft pick or two, maybe get fined. But I don't think that they're going to have this reputation that the Astros have gotten. It's something I think a lot of teams are doing, but they're the ones that, you know, might have to take the hit, especially as a two-time offender.
All right, Chris, great stuff. We love having you on. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for coming on. MassLive.com is where it can reach you. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks.
All right. I mean, can you imagine if they end up finding that they cheated during the year that they won the World Series? Just how you have to watch every single game. Like, every team is going to be going after them. And we said it before. It's like it's going to be like Gladiator. Every place they play, no matter what, everyone can gang up and say, these guys suck.
It will be the first time that I can ever remember that the Red Sox will be mediocre to poor and people will still watch the games.
Well, I mean,
casual fans will still watch the games.
I personally don't think they're going to find much. It's weird that they went and circled back. I think there's going to be questions about, I think they're talking about Alex Cora and maybe he had something to do. But the fact that he's gone, I don't think they're going to, I honestly don't. I'm getting a weird feeling that they're not going to find much. However, those Astros games, in Joe Murray's words.
Oh, yeah.
In. For the first month, I want to watch every single one of those games. How great would it be if, like, the starting pitcher comes out and there's already a guy warming up in the bullpen?
Yeah.
Because, you know, boom, yeah. you're just getting ready to get plunked.
Well, the Red Sox are going to have that opener this year so they can start one every guy fifth, every fifth day. Up, you know?
And after Martin Perez is sent to the minors, twice every time through the rotation.
Now, I'm not sure, but are the Dodgers and Astros...
Oh, that's
no,
be
I don't believe the Astros where's play the Dodgers.
Game? There's no interleague. They're not going to this year.
I don't. No, there's interleague play, but I don't think the Astros play the Dodgers.
The only thing that could be better is if all of a sudden, they're a good team, is if the Astros like are in first place all season long. Because then they're like double hated.
Not only know how, you know, with all the, that's the thing. They have a lot of talented players on that roster. I don't see how they can perform well.
But if this is year. Something that they rally, oh, you want to talk about, they'll go from being like, I mean, they're already the most hated team right now in American sports. But I mean, what if they go to the World Series?
The 2020 All-Star game is at Dodger Stadium this year.
Yeah.
So, if the Astros players will be there.
Just vote for all Astros players.
Yes.
Everyone should, like, the fan vote, just vote for all Astros players. They have to stand there in the Lions' den.
And the Dodgers lost, what, the last two World Series?
Can you imagine an intentional hit by pitch at the All-Star game?
Yes.
Oh, it would be the,
we could bet on that.
Oh, it'd be good. Yeah. I'd put money on that one. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Touch
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
I can't think that could be interesting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 of Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. We'll get to some of this NFL changing of the playoff system and everything else that's to do with it. A lot of people pissed on Twitter. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, I saw something going around the internet yesterday, which just kind of made me laugh for a moment. There was this stupid thing where people were retweeting, you know, what movie as a childhood terrified you and scarred you for life. And I thought about some of the, you know, stuff that I watch. You see, I grew up in a family where we were just allowed to watch everything. Like the HBO is the babysitter, and they just put it on TV, and I saw...
But you and I think, are the same. You've said this, told this story many times about Poltergeist, and that's the one that freaked me out.
Dude, Poltergeist, I saw when I was taken to the movies to see Poltergeist when I was 5.
I didn't see it in the theater.
So you have to understand... Poltergeist, it's probably better to show a hardcore porn to your child than Poltergeist. Ugh. Poltergeist is everything that you love as a child coming to attack you and murder you.
I had a tree outside my childhood window. The house I grew up in, there was a tree right outside my bedroom window.
So let's go.
And I couldn't open that window for like 5 years after that.
Let's go through the things in that movie that attack the children in it. The tree that is outside the window comes in, reaches in, grabs the child, tries to swallow him alive. The television, which kid loved the TV. The television had a demon in it that tried to grab you and spoke with you and pull you into the television. There was something in the closet, a giant flaming head that tried to eat you alive if you open up the closet. Your mirror, your face would turn into maggots and you would cut your face open. And then the most terrifying scene, I think, in almost any movie if you're a child, was when the toys attacked that kid. Remember the clown that was sitting at the end of the bed?
Yes.
And the big long arms that tried to strangle him to death?
Yeah.
Dude, my parents brought me to see that movie. And what was great was that one time I was talking about that on the air, and my mother, God bless her, she emailed me and said, Richard, I thought it was a movie like Casper about a kindly sprite. Well, then A, you didn't look at the poster. B, you didn't see a commercial. Yeah. C, you knew nothing about this movie before bringing me to see it. But I mean, but that's an obvious one that obviously.
I had a My Buddy doll as a kid. Like Chucky always got me. Like those My Buddy, I was out on those things growing up, man, because of that movie.
You see, Chucky, I always thought was hysterical because, like, just kick him. Like, why didn't anyone in the movie just kick him? Like, yeah. Chucky's like, I'll get you. And they're like, ah!
You
just,
have the obvious dude, height and weight him. Advantage. Yeah.
Like, about, it's a doll. Kick
what about
him.
Exorcist? That kind of got
okay,
me
well, Exorcist is legitimately terrifying. One franchise that kind of became super corny and gag-filled that the first one is still to this day stands up as one of the most terrifying films was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah.
The original one, because it was, like, cheaply made and Freddy didn't crack a joke. He was just this thing. And I think I saw that... Was I seven? No, I was like maybe I was eight. But you have to understand, like I would just they would just watch movies and I would see everything. And I think about it now, I'm like, oh my god, like I'm still pretty protective of what my kids watch. Like probably too much so. But I mean that's not like kids stuff that people were talking about. Like legit ones that like kids movies that scared me. Like Watership Down. Do you remember that cartoon about the rabbits that would like rip each other's throats apart? It was like a cartoon movie, but it was these rabbits that were murderous and they would like have these battles. And there was one where it was like bloodthirsty rabbits and it was a cartoon and they sold it as like an after school special, but it was highly terrifying, highly terrifying. Somebody said, hey, wasn't Ken Griffey Rules in college when Poltergeist came out? That might actually be the truth.
You know what music video got me was Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. That video when I was a kid, whenever it came on, I'd see that damn cow's eye. It freaked me out.
I'm trying to remember. I don't even remember that one.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
It freaked me out on MTV when I saw that.
All right. 617-779-0985. We'll get to these rules and the playoff schedule and the way that they're completely screwing up everything and the anger that apparently has followed when they try to mess with the playoff system for the NFL. No commercials, just the headlines with Joe Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.